This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
There we go.
Way we Spying go again.
For the CCP in progress.
13-hour day, huh?
Yeah. Nice, fun-filled.
Cheers to you.
Thank you. Had a good workout right at the start. Didn't get to ride around all day. So when I got out, every time, everything was cramped up. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, you were saying in the green room that it was the first two stops were manual
work. Yeah. Think about going and doing your lifting and then driving for 11 hours after that with only occasional stops to get
doing
out.
Doing an upper body, yeah, back, shoulders, arms.
And no, in squats, you're doing legs too. Oh. Yeah, it's like
because lift with your legs, not with your back.
Yep.
There's nothing like sitting in a truck for 12 to 11 hours, which I haven't done. I don't think I've done that right after a leg day. But I can only imagine that would be the worst.
Yeah. Every time you get out, you're like, oh, this hurts. Oh, you get walking around and you're like, oh, feel better. Yep. Then another 3 hours in the truck.
In the truck. Yeah.
Your hips, you know. Feel like,
oh.
Yeah, my hips hurt.
Perth.
Well, on the way home, and it's just from normal driving. Nothing. It wasn't even windy or nasty. I just had to start rolling my shoulders because it was like seizing up all tight and everything. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Cramping. Sucks when, I like working out first thing. Like, you know, I could drop the girls off at school, head to the gym on the way home. But then especially when I'm working, whether I'm at home or in the office, I try and stand a little bit, but you sit for a couple hours and then you move. And it's like, even just to get up to go to the bathroom, it's like, oh man, my legs are cramping up. I need to stand up and just, it's like, oh my God, that shouldn't hurt as much as it does. But whatever. I mean, price you pay for
growing old.
Well,
because I don't remember all these cramps and pains when I was younger. You know, doing tree and wrecking service when I was like 18 to 21, 22. The stuff I threw around back then, you know, it was like go, go, go all day, go party all night, sleep occasionally. And I don't remember ever having all the pains that I do now. But I think working hard back then causes some of the pains I have now.
Very possible. I mean, you probably don't do any stretching or anything like that as well.
Not during the day. No. I try to stretch my legs out, but there's this firewall that stops me, you know. I don't have short little legs like Jimmy where I could slide the seat back and stretch them out and let them hang a little bit and run the pedals with my toes.
Yeah, but realize I can't slide the seat back too far. Otherwise, my feet won't be touching.
I know. What's funny is our other driver, he's another little short stack guy. And when I get into the truck, I'm getting to the point now where I remember, because he hasn't been working, to put the seat back. A couple times I popped up in there and I was like, did I get fatter? Nope. Seat needs to go back because the steering wheel's like digging into my gut. And the chair's almost to the floor. It's like, couldn't drive like this. Got to raise it up. Get going. Now, thankfully, I'm in a truck, though, compared to a car for upteen number of hours, because I wouldn't be able to move. I'd have, like, rolled out of the car, and cars beat me up anymore. And I know, funny on that, I saw a YouTube video. And it was one of the little shorts, and the thing said, what was it? Marathon, 4-hour drive home, handicapped. And it shows them trying to get out of the car. And legs not working or nothing else. It's like, I can sympathize with that. Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. So what's the drink of the week?
This a new segment?
It seems like it's always something different.
Yeah. If this I'm drinking called... something, it's the same thing all the time. So you have
like an old fashioned.
Yeah, basically.
This is called an aviation, and it's a little on the complicated side.
Ooh, I'm curious now.
Is it made with aviation gin?
I mean, you could. It is made with gin, but it's not named after Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. I was just aviation wondering.
Gin. It's apparently a drink that goes back to like even Prohibition days, but it's got gin, a couple ounces of gin, lemon juice, something called creme de violette, which is a violet liquor. It is purple.
Is it expensive?
No, actually, I thought it would be. It really wasn't that bad.
It sounds like something that's like a $40 bottle for like 3 ounces.
No. It's just like anything. Like maybe it's 20. Well, no, it's maybe it is 30, but it's a fifth of, I mean, it's a big bottle. It is dark purple, super sweet though on its own. It's like sugar. But there's some of that, a little bit of simple syrup and maraschino cherry liqueur. So
that actually sounds tasty.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. A cocktail bar I go to makes a fantastic one, and this isn't that bad. So it's a good, and it's a lot. Even though the violet liqueur, the cherry liqueur, and the simple syrup, you'd think, oh my God, that's got to be super sweet, but it's actually not that.
Gin probably cuts it pretty well.
Yeah.
You got the dry with the sweet.
Yeah.
It cuts everything pretty well.
Yeah.
As long as it's decent gin.
True.
You don't have to necessarily have good, but you got to have decent.
I wouldn't know the difference. As long as it's not in plastic, I think I'll be okay.
Exactly. As long as it's not.
It doesn't come in plastic. It's not good.
A plastic M16 bottle. Yeah.
The home with its own handle.
Uh-huh.
The handle's like a different kind of plastic.
Oh, Hawkeye vodka.
Oh, please.
Hawkeye gin. Word. But yeah, it's aviation. Look it up. While there's a lot to it, it's actually pretty straightforward. Mix it all together, shake it over ice, done. And it's a tasty. I'll make you one.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a get together and just have like drink tasting.
Yeah, well, for sure in October. I mean, I know CJ is going to be a little bit busy, but.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. The two of us could just sit over and.
I may have a plus one.
I'm not going to lie. This drink just kind of looks like a weenie drink.
It does, because it's like purplish gray. Mine's grayish, but there is a purpley.
Yours looks more gray than these ones. These look extremely.
You know how purple. You can get away with drinking weenie drinks and flowery drinks and umbrella drinks, CJ?
You've told me this and I don't remember reasons.
You just got to be like the toughest looking guy in the bar and no one will say anything. Or if they do, it'll be kind of ha ha, but I don't hurt me.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm just going to shave my head and get tattoos all over it.
There you go. See, that's why you don't see guys like in like the country bars, the biker bars. You won't see the umbrella drinks and stuff in there because you're most likely not the toughest guy in the bar. But if you look like the toughest guy in the bar, you can get away with drinking. I mean, that's for me drinking grasshoppers. And yeah, the guys in suits are scared about the guy in the leather jacket and beanie cap. I'm just having a grasshopper. Why not?
You're also 6'3".
I am. Well, depends what shoes I'm wearing.
I'm giving you some height. Take it.
Yeah. If I'm wearing boots, I'm 6'3". So, yeah, that's true.
It yeah, probably helps. You're like, yeah, six, you got it. You're on your 5'6", 5'7". The little bit different game you're playing.
It is. Then you got to have the eye where you just stare at them. Kind of like look at him
like the one from
Final while you're West. Sipping it, you just keep looking at him like I'm going to fucking kill you.
Exactly.
It's either I'm gonna fuck you or I'm gonna fucking kill you. And either way, you don't want it, bud.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring a crate of alcohol.
There we go.
We'll just be making drinks.
CJ will probably end up hanging out with us to get away from
the go rest up the of night family. Before, right? Because we got to get our drink on, hang out, and then
I'm pretty sure they got discounts on the hotels,
weddings on the day, and then all of that stuff, and we could be day drinking.
There we go.
Because I'm sure CJ's got pictures or whatever. But any you stop by anytime.
I'll be around, trust me.
Fair.
That's the only thing that I'm like really not looking forward to is that I got to divide my time amongst people. Yeah. It's not like you can just hang out with the people you want. You got to appease everybody.
Mingle
even at your fucking wedding, you can't do what you want. Yeah.
Well,
I'm giving you permission to do whatever the fuck you want. Not that you need it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But if just blame it on me. Well, Jim's making drinks. Like, sorry, I started asking him about, because, you know, it'd be really cool. We have people over.
Mm-hmm. You could probably make some side money, Jimmy, as good as a bartender as you are. Because if we're making drinks over in the corner, you know there's
going to be everyone's going to start coming over.
Can you make me one of those? $20.
Yeah. Top shelf stuff.
Yep.
The regular shit's inside, but the good shit's over in the back of the truck out in the parking lot.
And just because it would be your wedding, I'd cut you in, CJ.
Hey, I can appreciate that. We'll give you a 5% discount.
Some of the proceeds could go to...
That would be good for us, though, Jimmy, dowry. Because we'd walk in where everything's going on, and then a walk out to get some fresh air and a new drink... Walk back in that little bit of exercise. Yeah.
I like
walk it off a little bit.
Exactly. Hey, you can drink a lot more if you stay moving.
And hydrated. I
could probably test that.
No, you can. No,
if I'm sitting down, then I won't realize how unstable I am.
Yeah, but if you keep walking and you just keep moving. And you just keep sipping, you can put away a lot of alcohol.
Oh, I know. I did that this last weekend.
Well, let's graze it. There's a little bit of grazing, a little bit of hydration, a little bit of movement, a little bit of drinking. And then
I had one of those nights that at the end of the night, I said, who the fuck drank all my shit? It was me.
Oh, it was me.
I'm like going there. Well, I was just like, I swear to God, I put three back and now they're all gone. Who the fuck drank my shit? That was you.
It was you.
All right, fine, whatever.
Who drank all the good stuff? No, oh, fuck. Yep. Yep. Good times.
First question of the night, because as I was driving home, something I noticed, I look over and I see a Porsche. Nice little sporty one, not SUV type. Little sporty one, but it has four doors. And unfortunately, in my mind, if you own a Porsche, it should not have four doors, like a sporty car Porsche, not the SUV types, talking sporty cars. So my question is, what are some cars that should not have four doors?
Mustangs.
I agree.
Yeah, because isn't that Porsche? Well, now they have another model, but they just used to have one Panamera that had four doors. And I think they have another model.
But and they got SUVs, which I'm not dinging the SUVs.
No. I'm with you. I'm following with what I'm picking up what you're laying down. Yeah, a Porsche, any Porsche car.
Yeah,
non-SUV vehicle.
Just be two doors.
Because you don't have four-door Lamborghinis, four-door Ferraris.
How about Maserati? Do they have a four-door car? Do they have that? Do they have a bigger sedan? I was trying to think on that.
Ew.
I don't think so.
That four-door does not look good.
What? On the...
It looks almost too long.
Too big.
What, on the Porsche?
On the Porsche, they stretched it out.
Limo.
And somebody said, looks great.
What is that?
Doing your iPad.
It's a thumbs up on. Sorry, we're amused by the iPad.
I don't know. It almost kind of looks like it's trying to be an SUV. Or what are they? No, it's trying to be a hatchback. That's what it looks like to me.
But yeah, but it's like it shouldn't have four doors. It shouldn't. I was trying to think of some other cars that.
You know. Could you imagine a four-door Mustang?
No.
it's just funny. It's like, well,
what is it? The old Fairlanes? That was the four-door model of the Mustang. I think it was Fairlane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I may be wrong on that, but I think it was the old
Maserati does have a four-door.
But is it really? SUV or car?
I could not.
They have SUVs for sure.
It's a car. Yeah. I searched Maserati car four door.
Ghibli.
Are you looking this up?
Yeah, Ghibli. But it actually looks.
Are we looking at?
I'm going to piss off all the Maserati owners in the vast BR nation. But it just looks like a Buick.
Yeah.
The four-door Maserati just looks like a Buick with the Maserati Triton on the grill.
Wait, which one are you looking at?
Oh, they have another one too, Quattroport.
That's the one I'm looking at. I'm like,
that one actually looks okay.
It is.
I mean,
maybe if you have it? You can afford a driver also and you're just getting driven around everywhere. Possibly, but still,
it's got a rating of 6 out of 10. Fucking
sick. Well,
it's only $126,000 for this car.
Yeah, the one I originally was talking about that said that it looks like a Buick is $85,000. Anyway, and the Porsche, I know the Panamera, a lot of that's like the average salary or average income of somebody who buys one of those is like $500,000. So you're buying them more as a limo, a sporty limo.
I don't know. Whenever I look at these cars, I don't look at it for like an everyday driver. It's like a get out and go cruise around and have some fun.
This Porsche,
it's not like I'm taking the fucking family with me.
Yeah. This is like going down old junky country road. I'm like, I wouldn't. To me, it's not an everyday driver on top of it. If you have the money and you can use it as an everyday car, more power to you. But I don't see that as a.
I don't know if I've told this story before, but there's a friend of mine. His dad is now retired, but he was a former student of mine. And his dad was an orthopedic surgeon. They had a Porsche Boxster. They had four kids, but it was a two-door Porsche for just him and his wife to putz around in. Like you said, it's more of an enthusiast car. It's not an everyday driver. It's something that they, you know, like a weekender or let's go take a road trip together somewhere. Right. And if you're an orthopedic surgeon who's been established for a while, got an established practice, you got money. So it's no big deal. One day, though, he drove my friend when he was a student of mine. He drove the Porsche to rehearsal and I'm closing up the band, like rehearsal's over, everyone's gone home or leaving, and I'm closing up the band room. I hear a knock on the door and I open it up, and it's this kid and one other student. This kid, he looks like literally, if you put red frame glasses on him, he'd look like Milhouse from The Simpsons. So Milhouse is looking, in fact, that was his nickname. Like Milhouse is looking, not like he's kind of looking down and he's not saying a word. The other guy is doing all the talking. The other guy goes, yeah, can he use the phone in band director's office? Sure. Not a problem. I'll go unlock it and whatever. So we're walking over. It's like, as we get to the door, I'm like unlocking it. So what's up? Milhouse walks into the office. The other guy goes, yes. So you know how he drove the Porsche to rehearsal? I'm like, yeah. It's not there.
Oh no.
What? Like, yeah, the Porsche is gone. Like, is there any broken glass or did he, it was a convertible. It's like, so did he have the, no, it's like, well, did he have the top down or something? It's like, I don't know. And I can hear him talking in the background, like whoever he's calling, whatever. And so we're talking and I'm, you know, my jaw's now on the floor. Cause it's like, oh shit. That's
dad. Come get it.
Dad was out of town.
Oh,
so that was my first, one of my questions is like, did, and we called his dad Powerhouse, and there's lots of reasons for that, but he's like, nope, he's out of town. It's like, ooh, huh. So long story short, Milhouse walks out of the band director's office and goes, yeah, mom came up here and took it.
Oh, mom got it.
I wasn't supposed, apparently I wasn't supposed to drive it. And that was her way of teaching me a lesson. And I looked at him and I was like, and he's like, lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
Make sure you ask before you take the Porsche to rehearsal.
So at least mom took the car.
Yes. So it was safe and sound at home in the garage, but mom was the one that wanted to teach him a lesson. And then the next time I saw his mom, I was like, remind me never to piss you off. And she's like, what? And I just looked at her for a second. And before I could say anything, she's like, oh, the Porsche. It's like, it's like, yep. And she started laughing. It was cool. They're super cool people. It was really cool to meet this kid and his family. I've subsequently, he has another brother and sister, and I taught all three of them. So it was kind of cool to get to know them. But yeah, that was.
And did they all learn from him not to drive the Porsche?
Yeah, none of them made that same mistake. So.
No, you. That kind of reminds me. I should just someday drive over, grab the spare key to Alex's vehicle, and move it in the parking lot. Just move it.
Just put it somewhere else.
Like farther down the line or something. Back it up, move it off, park it.
You've got to do that.
I do. If he was smart, he would go talk to security. And they could pull it up and see where I moved it to. But I
don't know. How hilarious would be watching you get in the car. He's like, oh, this motherfucker.
Exactly. But I think after running around a little bit, he would call me. And then I can mess with him. I'm like,
yeah, he'd be chicken, a headless chicken for a while.
Yep. And in that brief moment, I'd be like, well, did you look around the parking lot? Are you sure you parked there? Are you positive? You need me to come get you? I think I would actually get up and drive across town just to, like, pick him up, comb around, and be like, ain't that your truck right there? It would be worth it.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
Oh,
the fun you could have with your kids.
If you're not fucking with your kids, you're not trying.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he messes with me, I get to mess with him back, right?
What do you do to you?
What has he done recently?
Been alive? Yeah, gave you the stomach flu?
Oh, yeah. He did. He tried to kill
I don't think that was supposed to be a trick.
I don't know.
That was unfortunate. Oh. We both got this shit.
I don't know. He did something the other day, and I had to go, nice one. Never. What did he? He got me on something. I slipped up on something. I don't know. He does make me laugh, though. For some reason, his bathtub was plugging up for the shower. And I figured this out, not him coming and telling me he's having issues with the drain, of finding stuff in my bathroom and going,
he's just using yours.
He's using mine. And I'm like, is there a problem with yours? Yeah, it won't drain. Okay. Walk in there. Yeah, it's full of water. It's not draining. Pick up said plunger. Go, kaboom, fixed. He's like, I thought that was just for the toilet.
Speaking of which, I just learned today there's two types of fucking plungers.
Only two? I thought there was three.
What's the other one? I know that there's the ones that everybody uses for toilets. It's actually for sinks and like drains. But the toilet one looks totally different. Looks nothing like the plunger.
Toilet one has like a little
flange.
Yeah, it has the
flange. I will honestly say I had no idea.
You have the flange.
Yeah, it looks like a mushroom almost. Yep.
Yeah, you have the sink one, which I use the toilet one for that. You can use the toilet one on a sink or a drain. And then there's that. Well, there's a third one where usually you just have, you're trying to push down, but there's another one that does a push pull. I don't know if that's considered a third different one or not. Yeah.
Still. Even the fact that there's two.
Well, the regular sink one is the one that like everyone wants to buy, and it doesn't really work on toilets because it shoots out the side. Because
it's a different,
it doesn't make a cup.
Well, people push too damn hard.
Well, yeah.
That you're trying to like fucking go at it. No, the suction will do all the work.
And get an actual toilet plunger.
No, we have an actual
shit's pumped down now.
Well, ours is actually, it's got the shit emoji. That's what our plunger is. It's,
nice.
I would hope that's not for the fucking sink. That'd be a little weird. Who knows?
Stuff happens.
I kind of got the clogged toilet down at this point. I know how to not clog toilets. It's a rule of three. You wipe three times, flush, start over.
If you need to do more,
Yep.
Yeah.
Because if you do more than that, you're just pushing your fucking luck, bud.
It's like never force a fart. You may live to regret it.
Oh yeah.
But my daughter is
especially after to master
30. My daughters have yet to master the appropriate amount of toilet paper. Like, and I, because I don't know its volume of shit, although it certainly could be. But I think they just over toilet, like, you know.
I don't know.
Use well, you're scared of getting your thumb.
Yeah. They're scared of something. Anyway, it doesn't happen often, but there was a time where I swear it was like at least once a week. One of them, if not both of them, would clog up the toilet. It's like,
yeah,
seriously, guys.
Well, and we've talked about this before. How do little people have so much shit in them?
Just work more efficiently.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It's like, I remember when he was like, 9, 10. It's like, that came out of you? Because, plug the toilet. I mean, it's like, all that came. No wonder you were feeling like having a stomach ache. It had to have been backed up. You look like you dumped your intestine and then some. It's like, how is that possible to have that? That's like an adult size. And you're 50 pounds. You shouldn't be able to shit 10.
Yeah. No wonder you had a stomach.
You gave birth.
Yeah. You know,
because the shit was going all the way up into your stomach. You know
what? It's like, how did it all come out? And it's all one big hard rock. Yeah. You know, it's not like a puddle or pudding or just a, it's like a big, humongous 5-pound rock that come falling out of a little kid's ass. It's like, and what's always funny, you can almost tell when he took a big shit because he'd be hungry. Like, oh, I got room now. I'm hungry.
So what you're telling me is that kids are just like dogs.
Basically.
The routines are about the same.
For the first few years. Eat,
play.
Yeah. Basically.
Don't die.
Yeah.
No, they got a little puppy. I mean, obviously they're puppies.
Right, right. Yeah, it's... since we're on the topic, I remember at my first job, I worked at a grocery store in the produce department, which doesn't have anything necessarily to do with the story other than I worked at a grocery store. And then one day, but we did have public bathrooms. So customers could, if they had to, whatever. Right. In the men's bathroom, one of the, the men's bathroom was clogged, but because somebody took a shit, and it was like, I mean, it was pushing the diameter of a Coke can, and it was almost twice as long. So much so that the store manager at the time took one of those. That's back when the signage, they had this big paper signage. And they wrote them up with markers and stuff for everything in the store. He wrote one that was, you know, half a poster size, put it on the door that said the 8th wonder of the world. He almost got fired over that because it was public. That was
a public bathroom.
Customers could see it.
Yeah.
It's one thing if it was a private bathroom, but
worth it.
But it was huge. And I remember he's like, check this out. Because everyone was laughing.
You
got to
show somebody. You can't.
Yeah. Well, everybody was gathering. Like, there was people. Like, it became a scene. And sure enough, it's like, oh my God. Like, who'd that come out of? And it was probably some small dude. Like, you know, someone shorter than me.
It was probably a 9-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, it was probably a kid because it didn't get flushed or whatever. And he panicked and he ran.
I feel like I'm related to them somehow.
Oh, CJ, I hope you have a son because then you can experience pants around the ankles.
Pants around the ankles.
Public bathroom, standing up by a tree, it does not matter. Pants always go to the ankles.
Is there like a cutoff age where you're like, you gotta stop doing that, bud? Because I remember being in elementary school and the one weird kid would do that.
Yeah, no, well. He's saying he's weird, but I'm saying like the normal progression, it only happens for like a year or two, but for some reason they think
ankles. Everything's a toilet.
Yeah, probably
all the way down to their ankles. Like even if they were in a bathroom, it's like all the way down to their ankles.
Ankles.
They don't want to pee on things.
I'm guessing their fourth or fifth grade, he got out of that habit.
Fourth or fifth grade. Yeah. Are you talking about the kid I knew?
No, I'm talking, I think first to third is when maybe by 30 was grown out of it. But yeah, I'm sure I've told my Walmart story before. We may have a few new listeners, and it's been a while.
Go for it.
I was teaching my boy how to pee on trees when he was first learning. And I got a phone call back when I was still married of screaming voice, which I couldn't make out much, with laughter in the background. And finally, when I finally got the story, my little man had to go pee. They were in Walmart in one of those fake trees in the middle of the aisle. Hey, it's a tree. He had to pee. And this is what reminded me. Pants around the ankles, standing there.
Yeah, all the way down. Yeah.
Right in the middle of Walmart.
God damn.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah.
But hey, it's a tree.
Yeah, it's a tree. Just happened to be a fake tree, but hey.
He's trying to make sure.
He didn't go in his pants. I'm proud of him. There you go.
I have no wins a win. You got to take them off.
You got to take the W when you can.
Thanks, Jimmy G. Missed out
on. I see this as a win.
Of course, I've missed out on more than he has having girls.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel blessed. I don't. Yeah, I don't want to hear all his horror stories.
Yeah.
Well, I'm praying times. To I the gods go. I get the Barnes luck, so.
Well, if not, I can give you some pointers.
Yeah.
Nothing. Oh, I was about to say, I can give you some luck. I'm like,
thank you. No. I can give you some pointers, or at least what to expect. So,
well, yeah. I'll have one for each.
There you go. We got you covered. There you go.
Yep.
All right, change subjects here just a titch. If you had to have sex in one position only for the rest of your sex life, which would you choose?
And the thing here, I think it talks about, like, the people can change.
People can change, just position doesn't. Got to use the same position with everyone.
Forever.
Ever.
Doggy style, that's easy.
That's what I'm leaning to, because you can do with a lot with doggy style.
Yeah, that was my...
A little bit of hair pulling, play with boobs, can do a reach around.
Got it covered. Depending
on if she's knees or all fours. It's
the most versatile.
Yeah.
There's lots of different...
You can be outside, spanking. Be on a bed, you could be anywhere. Yeah.
Pin her arms back, grab her arms. You can
make it long.
Yep.
It's like the most efficient way.
About the only thing that might get hurt a little is her knees.
That's what you got beds for. Or she could just stand up.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you got a lot to... That would be the... I would say that would be the easiest. All the weird positions. Yeah, no.
I mean, the other ones, it's like you throw variants into them. But it's not the same style, then.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna get boring.
You wouldn't want to do an oddball one, like one leg up in the air against the wall type thing, because that's too
situational. Yeah, that's... Yeah. But, yeah, I had a conversation with somebody about this. Well, it depends, and what about this and that? It's like, no.
It's that same.
And then later on, it's like, okay, yeah, doggy's it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, see,
I'm actually curious now, is that like every man's favorite position?
I wouldn't say favorite position, but if I had to pick one, I think
it's the most staple.
Yeah, it's very versatile.
It's like steak and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
It might be. And I'm only thinking, like, the only other thing I could think of is possibly missionary. But more where I'm going with, like, eat doggy for sure. Like, I think in some ways maybe the better way to phrase this is to ask a question. Is there more of a dominant kind of posture or attitude in that position versus any other?
Yeah.
I like the one with the missionary. You got their legs on your shoulder.
Well, because see, I would think like cowgirl or something if I was feeling lazy, because then I wouldn't have to work.
Right. I usually get hamstring cramps and it's no fun. Because I'm not just going to lay there. I don't know. I try just laying there, and I'm like, either I'm just going to fucking just like, all right, is this going to be over? Because I got to do some work too, or I'm going to fall asleep. It's just like being at work. If I'm just going to sit around, I'm going to fall asleep. If I'm doing something, I'm in it to win it, bud.
Yeah, but so I wonder if from like Doggy, there's something about like everything that you mentioned, Nate, from hair pulling to everything else, there's something about that that makes it more of a dominant position in the best possible sense of that. And because it's something and this ties into an idea I've been toying around with in my head, is good sex, and I'll pose the question, is good sex for a man when they're in, when they have a feeling of control or complete control, and good sex for a woman is when they feel like they lose all control.
I agree.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times like that I don't mind not having
an aggressive full control. Woman. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but even in those times,
it usually ends up, it always ends up the same way, I'll tell them.
Well, you're allowing it.
Yeah, it's like,
it's happening because
having a little fun.
Yeah.
You can't always do the same thing. I want you
to do X. So you're still technically in control because you're like, I want you to.
Even if you don't say it, you're letting it happen. And in without saying the words, there's implicit.
Yeah.
I want you to do this, or you're do this for me kind of thing.
Right.
So it's not
just starfish sex or something.
Yeah. Or wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of thing. I mean, it's
a quickie is fun just for like occasionally, but that shouldn't be your go-to.
I mean, quickies are nice if you're in a situation where it's like, it's probably not something we're supposed to be doing right now.
So yeah. Like the elevator is going to open in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should tell stories until later.
Well, or, you know, you're at some event or a party, like whether it's a family thing or whatever, and you just get a little frisky in the bathroom for like 5 minutes or something.
You're not going to draw that shit out for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's not the time to pull out all the implements. Yeah. And
we're just going to go through every room.
Yeah. Over to balcony in a hotel. Yeah. That's a good spot for a quickie. Kind of helpful. Yeah. Warm up, then go relax, and then go in for the real play. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And but again, there's
kind of like an appetizer.
There's some control. There's right, and you know that it's funny for all the talk of consent and all those sorts of things. It's like, you know, there's women that want to be taken in the best possible, you know,
consent. The whole consent argument is so funny because it's like, if you're a hot guy, you have full consent.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the shitty scrub or whatever that looks like a basement dweller, no. Not even if I get drunk and say yes 9 times and say please do me, and I beg you, I still didn't give you consent because you're an ugly dude.
Or I wake up the next morning sober and look at you and go, nope, I said no.
Yeah.
I had to have said no.
I have you on video begging me for it last night. That was coerced.
Yeah. That was someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so I think so to your point, CJ, I do think that's, I mean, if guys had given a choice, I think guys, there'd be a lot of guys that pick Doggy over anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong, I've had fun in other positions, but they're fun for moments.
Actually, it's almost, you could tell a lot by a type of a men's personality if he didn't pick Doggy.
I'm actually curious to know those people.
You know, it's like,
so if there's any ever out there, hit us up.
Yeah.
We'd you like know, to talk.
You look like a missionary kind of guy.
Yeah. But I could see that. I could see someone that's not used to being in control in their sex relationship easily picking something else. Oh, we spoon.
So is that with or without penetration?
She's behind me.
I was little spoon.
Oh my god. Okay, on that note.
Okay. Oh, if women could become men for one day, what do you think would surprise them most?
How much your dick flops around?
Huh?
Like if you're doing any kind of physical activity with gym shorts on, the flail.
I would say how much they're treated like shit in general public.
You said for a day.
I know.
You can say it for a lifetime.
I know, but if you put them out there, they'd actually realize how it works. You know, who you can kid with, who you can't kid with, how who's treated nicely, who isn't. You know, the one-sided, you know, they just think we have it all. It's like, no, you have to work for that respect and everything else.
I think there was an author, don't ask me about the details, but this woman had a disguised herself as a man for a year. She said it was the worst year of her life because people treated her like shit.
And didn't she commit suicide? Wasn't that? Okay.
Because
she wrote a book.
She was a feminist. And then after that happened, she couldn't believe the way that men were actually treated. And it just kind of, it fucked her whole world up. And I believe she committed suicide.
Yeah.
Well, and there's another gal who did some documentary that was a hit, like, because it punched all the right things. I forget what it was about. But it was a feminist sort of thing. I don't know that Cassie, her first name's Cassie. I can't think of her last name, but then she did a doc. She set to make out a documentary on men going their own way, men's rights activists. And during the course of filming and research, she basically said what she set out the documentary that and what she set out to find wasn't what she found. And so she made it, the documentary that she ended up making was sort of pro these guys, because they were, you know, they guys were, you know, stories of fathers getting screwed by family courts and divorces and all those sorts of things, can't see their kids, etc. I mean, a lot of stuff like that. But then she got almost blacklisted because of it. And she's like, look, this, I set out to do a thing thinking one way and found out that what my thinking was wrong. But I still had the documentary footage. So the story I thought I was going to tell wasn't the story I told. And how about we focus on the men just for a minute?
Right.
Like, I'll get back to all the other stuff I was doing. Let's just take this one documentary. And
oh no,
I know she's they talked to her in the documentary Hoaxed, which is something that Mike Cernovich put together. It's a really good documentary. It has a whole bunch of different people, even Ryan, who's the stoicism dude. He wrote Trust Me, I'm Lying.
Right.
The author of that book, Ryan Holiday, he's in that. They talked to a whole bunch of other people just about narrative, how the media lies and some of those sorts of things. And they used this example, Cassie, whatever her name is, as an example, because she's like, I know what they were saying about me was wrong because I lived it. It's like, what you're saying is that's not right. And she'd try rebutting, but you know, nobody wants to hear it. So anyway, that's sort of the tangent of the thing. Well, but
and this is something, and I didn't know exactly how to bring it up, so this works out good. In my YouTube shorts and YouTube videos I watch, it's amazing how many people out there on podcasts are talking about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it seems like there's new people every day.
Every day. Part of it's the algorithm just kicking it out, but it's the variation. You know, it's not just Jocko talking about it, and he reaches millions. It's not just, who's the biggest?
Rogan.
It's not just Rogan talking about it.
You mean BR? You mean the BR?
BR.
Biggest nation. Behind us, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
there the we biggest go. In second place.
But it's funny how you keep getting all these people are hemming on it and hammering it left and right. Okay, maybe my algorithm's full of these 100 people that are all talking about it, but it doesn't take long that they can't have a million viewers and not say anyone's not watching it. You know?
Oh yeah. It's like McDonald's. Nobody admits they go to McDonald's, and yet there's billions served.
Exactly.
Somebody's gone to McDonald's.
Yeah. The parking lot's full. The drive-through is like two car lanes.
Oh my god, we had to pick up material from McDonald's. It was the hell. They put it literally in the middle of the fucking drive-through. Like, oh, really, shit. This is the greatest spot you could fucking put it. Right next to where people are ordering, almost getting hit about every 5 seconds. I think this is great.
Yeah. Sounds about right. It's anyway, like, how many people have to talk about it until society
somebody
changes
gets it.
From this small, minimalistial crew, niche crew of... that are yelling at the top of their lungs. It's like everyone else has proven all of you guys wrong. It's just you think your narrative sounds better and let's go with it. Yeah. You know,
it's collapsing slowly. We're just starting to break ground on people just like realizing that these ideologies that the newses and corporations are trying to push, it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
People are starting to realize that's not really how life is. Like, I mean, there's inclusion and all this shit. It's just people aren't that fucking stupid. Like, there's a difference between being forced to like somebody and just genuinely liking people and accepting who they are. You don't have to be forced to do shit as a good human being. You're going to recognize a good human being. You shouldn't be forced. It's anything that's forced on a human being, we tend to reject.
Right.
It's just like being a fucking teenager. Everything you were forced to do, you didn't want to fucking do. We're adults that we're trying to be forced to do things we don't want to do. Well, guess what? Shit hasn't changed.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Have you guys
caught the video of the dude interviewing OnlyFans girls? Mm-mm. Have you seen any of this one's crazy.
I think I have.
One of the gals is saying something back to him, goes, I don't need men. I don't need them at all. I'm an independent woman, da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, okay, you make all your money via OnlyFans. So are you telling me you only have female subscribers? No. So you're dependent on men to pay. No, I'm an independent woman. And went right back to her spiel again. It's like...
Totally over her head. Because they're so delusional.
Yeah.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah. Well, and that the thing I thought of with that question that we started with, like what would be surprising is how hard it is for men when it comes to dating and approaching girls, like that side, the men side of that equation.
Yeah. You know, they really should be men for 2 days. One, they should be the 6'2" good looking guy that's walking down the street that's kind of somewhat muscular. And then they should put him in the form of your somewhat not quite basement dweller, but you're just your average Joe ish type. And be like, here you go. See the difference. But it's still funny, even if you're the big, tall guy, that most women are intimidated. You're still treated by shit,
some people.
Even, well, I mean, not or how women, disposable like, you are in a way.
Yeah. Right?
Like you don't matter. Work. Or like so many things are just assumed. You do the thing and duh, you would do the thing. And mm-hmm. oh, and then come home and please me. And you're like, you know, or whatever. Pay for my date. Pay for my dinner when we go out on a date. And all, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, be friend zoned for a while.
Okay. Here, I got to interject something. Sideline us for a moment. As you drive by construction sites, you're seeing more and more female flaggers, the ones with the stop signs, correct?
Yes.
I have, yeah.
Are most of them massive, or is that just an Illinois thing?
I've seen some that aren't extremely huge, but I wouldn't say they're attractive.
Okay, but I have yet to see a small flag. I've seen some like smaller operators here and there operating equipment, but when it comes to like, I did see
an anomaly the other day. A very good looking dump truck driver.
Okay, but she's driving.
That's what he said.
I don't care. It's anomaly.
The operator. It is an anomaly. No, it's
but it's in a vehicle or it's operate. I saw a gal in a street sweeper. Okay, it's like.
Oh no, I have a story. I can.
But the flaggers, your normal everyday low man, most totem pole person. It's like I have. You see, no, they're guys.
East German women.
Yeah, or, you know. Half the time I have Russian. To decide if they're actually women or not.
Yeah.
They're all. It's like all the dykes want to be the flagger, so everybody sees them or something. I don't get it.
What is it? It's like Pat. From NSL,
yes, or,
Saturday Night Live. It's ambiguously gay, like you don't know which one they are. But yeah, I've seen somebody. There's like this little gal, like 4'11" little gal driving this dump truck that was like four, like it was a huge dump truck. It wasn't just your normal city dump truck kind of thing. Like this one was like twice as big, and. I swear it's like you could barely see her head over the wheel, and I didn't even know, like I didn't even notice until I came back the same way later, like I went to the store and came back and she was standing next to one of the tires and barely taller than it. It's like, oh my god,
isn't it amazing what Allison Transmission has done for women. You know, that should be like the face of Allison Transmission. We help everyone get new jobs. Because if it wasn't for Allison Transmission, none of these women would have this job. Hell, 50% of the men wouldn't have the current trucking job. I'm getting to the point that I despise probably 75% of the truckers out there, especially in newer model trucks. If they're driving nice looking Peterbilts or Kenworths or something, they're usually the courteous drivers. The newer model stuff, especially international and freight shakers, it's all the overseas, whatever, Haji freaking people. Oh, can't freaking talk.
Are you trying to say something here, motherfucker?
I think what? So. Shots fired.
My truck's a 2023.
Mine's a 2024.
International.
And mine's an international too, but I'm talking the big super internationals.
I know.
It's not box like... trucks. Hey, you at least don't have a goat riding around with you. How many goats have you seen when you're driving down the road and you look over in the window and there's a goat staring back at you in a truck?
I will honestly say I try hard not to look in the truckers' windows. Really try hard.
I look all the time. I probably have seen a dozen goats this freaking year alone.
Speaking of flag girls, like stop, slow, stop. I had my first year ever instructing drumline. I don't know if I told this story, but I had a kid flake that very first day of band camp. Like he went home for lunch and never came back.
Nice.
And He's like, because the whole time he'd always try, well, can we do this? And no, like he'd always try to make it easier kind of thing. It's like, no, it's like, we're doing this anyway. Don't know what happened to the kid. 2 or 3, 4 years later, I'm driving into work.
Okay.
And you're right by the office. And I'm driving by and there's somebody holding a slow stop sign.
It's him.
While they're doing road construction, and it's that kid.
Good.
It's like, you found your calling, sir. You found your calling.
Okay. When you said you didn't know what happened to him, you know, he could have possibly been kidnapped, taken to Mexico, and dissected for parts.
True, but other students
had seen him. Okay.
At school. So.
All right. Fair enough.
So I knew he's alive.
I was reading a little bit. The person I was referring to earlier about the woman that disguised herself as a man and wrote a book is Nora Vincent. And it says here that Vincent detailed their decade-long history with treatment-resistant depression, saying, "My brain is never quite the same after I zapped it with the first course of SSRIs. The mental strain of maintaining a false identity during the making of Self-Made Man ultimately caused a depressive breakdown, leading Vincent to admit herself to a psychiatric facility. And then she died via assisted suicide in a clinic in Switzerland in 2022.
Oh, okay.
So literally her writing that book and being a man, it says for 18 months, drove her insane and insane enough to pretty much have herself killed.
And wow. Men live every day and survive.
Mm-hmm. I'm buying that book.
Yeah, what's the title of the book?
Self-Made Man.
Self-Made Man.
It was released in 2006. So this is
wow. Boom. And that maybe that in and of itself is the answer to that question.
That's kind of where I came up with my answer, is remembering stories like that. I don't. Most of them couldn't handle the stress of it. If you get to go do the fun stuff, you know, you get to be the millionaire playboy for a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think life is great. If you're just the average Joe,
it's not always great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that guys act like jackasses and little kids all the time? Because we got to have a little fucking balance.
Yep. Well, and there's that little give or take. There's some days you can throw shit around, and then there's other days you gotta, hey, this is serious time or whatever. Mm. And some people earn the right to give each other shit.
Yeah.
Average Joe off the street, you know, I don't know you.
Yeah, fuck off. Yeah, you give me exactly. Shit randomly, fuck off.
That's fighting if words there.
If it's one of you guys, that's a whole nother
another thing. Yeah. Because you've
there's
all
a bunch
had
of
that
shit that I need to take just because I've dished out
yeah.
a truckload myself. So
you know, yeah. But you always have that one guy that's like the orbiter of a friends group.
Yeah.
And he starts throwing shit
always
out.
Always wants to
like,
be in. Yeah.
You haven't earned that right yet. You're still a moron. Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're going to be a freshman forever. So how about you just chill the fuck out? Yeah. Yeah, it's well, and even the way we handle stress, right? Like, you know, there's all kinds of, I know, military stories, even going back to World War I, but I'm guessing even further back, there's always been this dark sort of humor, sarcasm. If something happens where you could almost like a cave in a coal mine or something like that, or whatever, where something happens, a tree doing logging, or, you know, I know you were doing tree work, tree falls and it almost hits you. Like there's some joke about, whoo, blah, yep. blah, blah, that would have, you know, whatever. And that it's some joke to deal with that, well, to break that tension and that, like, holy shit.
Here's one with the tree. Uncle in all of his years, we're talking decades of tree service. He screwed up one day. and cut the top of his thigh. Mm. And the joke was, well, I only went to the bone. I didn't cut it off. As we're holding his leg together, calling an ambulance, you know?
Oh, would you look at that?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But, you know, it's just that dark humor that we use to deal with that, the bullshit of the hard shit that some men do. I mean, I have a corporate job. I don't work. Like, I'm not digging ditches. I'm not even driving trucks. I got a corporate job where I sit and, you know, but at the same time, you know, my parents
chair.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Okay.
But you know, from cutting down trees to remodeling to a whole bunch of, hey, you want your room in the basement? Sure. Dad hands me a saw and a pile of lumber. All right.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Okay. He'd maybe lead with that next time. Have to refinish the basement before I can get my room in the basement. But, you know, but just all the guys that work on oil rigs. I mean, there's some dudes that take some high risk jobs, right? Even bus routes or subway, like at late shift bus routes.
Talk about dudes doing. The first time in all my years of driving, going through construction zones, I almost saw my first construction worker get hit. They were putting concrete blocks down. He's freaking drilling the hole. We're all getting off to the side, but he's like right on the line and there's not much of a shoulder. I guess he was so into it, he didn't think about it. And he went leaned over the railing to look. The truck swerved into the gravel. I thought he was going to lose it, but he kept it on there. His buddy next to him grabs him to pull him back. And he probably missed his head maybe like 4 inches. But granted, the truck's only doing 35, and it probably just still knocked his helmet off. But yeah, that dude was not paying attention, and they don't give us enough room going over a bridge to get over. It's and I'm just slamming on the brakes. I'm like, almost saw him take his head off. And I think I would stop to tell the officer it wasn't the truck's fault. It's kind of like Super Troopers. You need to get over. I can't get over any farther. You need to get over. That's what went through my mind. It's like the trucker's like watching.
Doing everything that he could. Yeah, yeah.
Because of the idiot construction worker.
Well, and, you know, there's a reason why so many dudes, why suicide rates are higher for men than they are for women.
Because all this women can't go through with it. Men actually can.
I don't know how I was thinking that, but we're talking just
deal with it.
Yeah.
Aren't really
old. Well, and there was that viral video that was making the rounds a while ago where it was like some gal said, who do you talk to when, you know, who do you call when things are going bad? Like, you know, she was thinking, oh, and I'm sure the rest of her video is like, oh, I call my bestie and we go to Starbucks or we grab some wine and we talk through it. But then it cuts from, she asked the question and it cuts to a whole bunch of different men answering that question. And pretty much all of them are versions of nobody because nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Or nobody because I'm a man. Like we don't talk to, I mean, and that's not necessarily true, right? Like we, at least maybe it's true for a lot of people, but for us, I could call either one of you or both of you up and say, hey, this just happened. What the fuck? Blah, 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 blah.
I think it's because we kind of like, we'd rather fix our own little things. Because if it's like too small, it's like, who's going to really take the time out of their day to help me fix this one little thing, you know, kind of thing. It's, I don't know how to put it. Like, we don't want to put our problems on other people.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way I can put it. But if it's like a problem that, I mean, I don't know about me, but you guys, like if it's a problem that we're like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. That's when you start reaching out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how,
because if you call about something stupid, like, hey, my doorknob fell out. Okay. Put the two screws back in.
What else? What else?
Why did you call again?
Yeah. more along the lines of, like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, something.
My dog just died.
Yeah, you dog. Well,
that I've had forever, or my parents just died in a car wreck. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, oh. there we go.
That's...
I've called a buddy on this. I've, like, gotten stuck, broke down in the car, and it's flashing lights at me, but I can't. That was before, like, internet on phones. I called my buddy up and I was like, hey, look this code up on the computer and tell me what's wrong. And he did. Yep. He looked it up and I was like, cool. And because I was traveling at the time, found a part store, asked the part. Of course, I had some
trucks.
I went and fixed it.
Yeah, back in the day, it's like, okay, I'm here. Where's the nearest?
Yeah.
Blah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, call someone and be like, oh.
Or can you call so-and-so? Like, because nobody's home. Can you call?
Right. Something like that. Yeah. But if it's mundane, stupid stuff, like, I broke a nail. How do I glue it back together?
Tape.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, can you take a look at this outfit I'm trying on? Does this make my butt look big? Oh,
talking about butts look big. Have you seen scrunchy shorts yet?
Huh?
So the girls that have, like, shit asses, they got these, like, special shorts now that you can put it on. It makes it look like they were doing squats and they got an ass.
Oh, because it kind of pulls or...
It bunches it all up. Yeah. Makes it, like, to a round... I know. Stuff it's I like see a corset on YouTube for your ass. That I can't unsee.
Apparently.
It squeezes everything from your thigh up to your cheeks.
Basically. Really, it's like it's in between their butt crack. It makes it look like they have an ass.
Yeah. It's the stitching of it. I've seen those. I've seen pants. I haven't seen shorts, but I take that back. I've seen shorts because I think one of Ryan Humiston's videos, he had a chick wearing those.
I
don't know why this popped in my mind, but it was like a, I don't know if you guys seen the ones like a videos of like chicks like at gyms, like, don't sexualize me. But there was a TikTok of this guy. He's like, how girls don't want to be sexualized. So they'll have like the really big shirts and he had the hat on. And then he turns around and his fucking pants are like riding his ass. But the shirt was tucked in so you could see the whole thing. I'm like, all right, that's fucking hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's, and I think, you know, we like, we're, well, when it comes to stress and shit like that, we like men, we're like pack mules, right? You can throw that, we'll just throw that shit on our back and we'll keep going. And then if something else happens like washer breaks down, the water heater goes out, the truck goes out, or there's a flat tire, like, we just put all that shit on our back and we'll keep walking. We may slow down, but we're just going to keep trudging along.
Well, and a lot of times if something bigger gets thrown on, one of the small things we just throw off.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Man, I like hot water. But we can fix that in a couple of days. We can,
you got to triage.
We go over to the parents' house or friends to grab a shower something, grab a hotel room if we have to. Think outside the box. The vehicle broke. Okay, it's like, I stubbed my toe this morning and I didn't have the breakfast I wanted or something. And you think you're having a bad day and you ask the other guy how you're doing. And he goes, my house burned down last night. Okay. You have problems.
Yeah. I'll shut up now.
you have problems. I got nothing on that. You know, yeah, it's yep. like,
Yeah. Sorry, I said anything, sir. I hope you have a better day.
Exactly. You know, it's like, how's your day going? I'm still alive and kicking. You know,
what was that? The Talladega Nights, whenever Ricky Bobby's on the bus or something, he's like, oh, yeah, I've had a bad day. Somebody ran over my bike. The guy's like, motherfucker, nobody gives a fuck about you. Everybody got problems. He's like, my grandma lost her leg. That's a damn problem.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I think that's just how we, it's like, yeah. But I think, you know, we do some of that almost, like to your point earlier, CJ, like we self-censor a lot of that stuff beforehand because we know, like, there's a certain threshold of shit that really no one else gives a shit about. Yeah. Like, even in this setting, like, we may talk about some of that shit before we go on or after we, but that's not necessarily because we're like, oh, can you help me with this? Or I'm venting. Like, it's not that. It's just like, can you believe this shit happened to me kind of thing or whatever? And then
you turned it into humor.
Yeah.
Turn it into humor.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that'd be surprising in a lot. Just all of that would be. And some of these, I know there's one guy making the rounds, but I think he's on the West Coast kind of doing the whole red pill, talking to women, but kind of thing. And he talks a lot about this. It's like, you guys don't, there's so much stuff that men have to do.
Yeah. You know, men built the world. That was on one of those guys going around.
Oh yeah. Like Fresh and Fit talk about that all the time.
You have all of this stuff
because men built it.
Men. Yeah. No. There might be some women managers in there, but men built it.
Yeah.
Well, there's women construction
What about this
workers.
Woman that did this? But yeah, there are women who have done
Hey, things. There's some excellent women mechanics out there that can fix cars and vehicles better than some guys.
I can believe it.
But they shouldn't be in diesel shops. Because everything's big and heavy, and they just... unless they happen to be 6'2" and 300 pounds, they don't seem like they can hack the job. You know, do you really want that person working on your vehicle with that?
Yeah.
Probably not, you know?
Well, yeah, I know somebody.
Now, can I see a gal that's running an excavator and do an awesome job? Yeah, because it's joystick controls and everything else, and it's hand-eye coordination. Guess what? I'm lucky I don't knock buildings down if I'm in an excavator. Me and those do not get along. I don't have the hand-eye coordination.
You just think they're everything's a bulldozer?
Yeah. They're just fun. Swing around and smash. I can do. Oh, you
Hulk
want me to
smash.
Raid
Hulk
this
smash.
Hole? No. Yeah, there's a lot. But at the end
the
of the
finesse.
Day.
Yeah.
It is impressive. Some of those dudes that can like cut. I mean, just... some of the like you were saying, CJ, some of the finesse digs, like they have to. It's like, holy
My
crap,
favorite
dude!
One, do you know what a grade all is? That's the one that looks like on a 4-wheel drive truck, and they got the straight bar with the bucket. They just do like the bucket can tilt back and forth, but it's not an excavator. It's just a straight down turret type.
Yeah, I've seen this.
He was in Kankakee, the operator there. While he would wait for the other things and we were doing a tree job over, he would reach out and there would be like a piece of gravel or a little pebble that fell out on the road. He would spend time to go and get the corner of the bucket.
Hook just to try and get it.
And slowly bring it back into where the rest of the gravel was without touching the road. And that's with the old controls, not joystick. It was like, big lumbar. The guy was a pro, you know.
Well, and there's a gal I went to, I think she graduated high school a year. No, she was in my grade, maybe a year before me. But anyway, she went into the Marines, like her whole family. Like there's a brother, two brothers, a sister. They all went into the Marines. And she was a heavy machine gunner.
Oh, there you go.
But she was my height, but she was built like a brick house. Like, I mean, so it's like, yeah, you did what? It's like, yeah, it's heavy machine gunner. It's like, oh, okay. But to your point, like, how many are there really? I mean, that's, you know, statistically rare.
I can't think of the powerlifter's name. She's like
Steffi Cohen.
Thank you. She's done some amazing lifts.
She's like 5'1".
Yeah. But at the end of the day, she's one out of millions.
Well, there's these things called anomalies.
And she is one. Yeah.
Yeah.
She trained. She did it. I'm impressed by it. But that's not a norm. That's the exception. And everyone keeps trying to point at all the exceptions as the rule instead of the norms.
It's like comparing everybody to Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
What? I could run like him.
I'm slightly falling asleep here.
You are. I was about to say you are a tall black Jamaican.
And that's how we're ending the show. Thank you very much, CJ. I was going to ask you to end it, and you did perfectly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Jans. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator. A civilized world.